but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Troy Taylor, the former Stanford coach, out after two seasons at Stanford. An unceremonious departure at Stanford. He was dismissed. ESPN had the story back when this all went down, and Troy Taylor basically was fired. He was fired without cause, it appears, and a number of articles came out, said he was investigated numerous times for the school for bullying, but ESPN was at the forefront of that. Joe Davidson, good friend of this show, Sacramento Bee, does terrific work, is joining us now. He had a great story yesterday, sort of breaking the story that Troy Taylor is suing. Joe is joining us. How are you, Joe?
John, good to hear from you, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. This story is interesting to me, and it's juicy, but give us an idea, because you're right there in Troy Taylor's old stomping grounds. It's near Sacramento State. You know, how does this cross your radar?
I've known Troy Taylor for years, probably close to 30 years. Saw him regularly when he was coaching high school football, and just up the road here from Sacramento, Folsom High School has been he helped elevate into a state-recognized powerhouse. And then he was the Sacramento State coach for four seasons, won three Big Sky Conference championships, gave Sacramento State their best seasons. And Stanford came calling, and you know, I went to a practice each of his two seasons there, and the first season Sacramento State played them on the farm in Stanford. So I've always known him, always been in touch. And we spoke after the story came out, and his whole beef isn't so much with Stanford, though he was pained by it. He was frustrated. He only won three games each of his two seasons, and he just felt, you know, what's going on here? We got an investigation for alleged bullying with female staffers, and I did my own reporting, John. I called a couple female staffers who still work there, and on the record, wasn't off the record, and they spoke highly of them. I wasn't going to grill them, for some congressional hearing on, you know, what did you see, but they said from what they saw, and it is an interesting situation. I don't see media get sued very often, and they didn't specify in the filed complaint with how much they're looking for, more for punitive, and you know, we'll see. They felt Troy Taylor and his lawyers felt that ESPN and the reporter did not do enough to get in touch with Troy Taylor. And then the follow-up stories and all being linked to bullying and belittling. And the two investigations, the lawsuit argues, it really doesn't. You know, the first one said there was not enough substantive evidence, and he wasn't picking on people for gender or race. And it's just the thing that really got my attention, John, was UCLA, after Chip Kelly left the Bruins to go to Ohio State's offensive coordinator, that was following the 2023 season, after the first investigation on Troy was conducted, UCLA's interest in Troy Taylor led Troy to tell his bosses that they were interested, they were going to come fly up and talk to him, and Stanford responded by extending his contract multiple seasons with a significant annual raise. Why wouldn't they cut him loose then? And he still had the backing of Andrew Luck, the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
And then until, you know, I asked Troy, I said, if ESPN did not have the leaked investigation, workplace investigation, and I looked at him and he said, I'd still be the Stanford football coach. It would have been tough to keep coaching with that hovering, and you know, wins help solve a lot of things, but so there we are, and it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds.
Interesting. When you talk about, you know, that whole sequence where UCLA is interested in Taylor, Stanford stands by him. I mean, we all could sort of see it unfolding as the public scrutiny increased. Just to reiterate, does Taylor's lawsuit point at ESPN as the reason he got fired at Stanford? I mean, or is that just, kind of the conclusion we all draw when we see smoke around a coach who's under fire like that?
Now, John, his complaint is it's ruined his reputation. The reporting, being emphatic that he got terminated for bullying and belittling, and the first investigation didn't agree. Or the other thing that was just goofy was the speed of which his walkthrough on a spring drill. Walkthrough. Just think about those words, walkthrough. And it was a female football staffer from the compliance office, and he barked at her. And I've seen Troy in high school practices and at Stanford and at Sac State. He will bark at people, but never belittling. Never saw him do it to women. So I think that's, I'm not here to defend him, but I've seen a great deal worse. We've all seen a great deal worse. So really, the suit is the reporting of the having the leaked investigation, and then they report from there, and then did not get a hold of him, and including for the follow-up story where in the lawsuit it said this was not breaking news, there was an urgency, to let him be heard. And Troy has not gone public at all until this story, and just wants to get his name cleared. And I'm not going to try to guess, but for seek punitive damages, which is punishment towards ESPN. Is that a retraction? Is that some kind of correction? We'll see. And the lawsuit was heavy in saying that ESPN was willful and deliberate in this effort. I don't think anybody's really trying to report and try to bury somebody. You and I have done this for too long. But I can certainly see the argument that, we could have been a little bit more thorough. And that's why it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. And again, John, to stress, the issue isn't so much with Stanford. He got his contract bought out. They honored the contract through 2030. We could always argue, well, geez, who's going to feel sorry for a guy who's got a lot of money suddenly in the bank? Well, this is what he does. He's a football coach, and he's had a sterling reputation. He feels wronged on there, and that's going to be, and he pondered this lawsuit for a while. I spoke to him back in April, and it was something they weren't sure what they were going to do, if they were going to do it, and then they decided to do it. So, we don't see this very often, but it is, it certainly hits Sacramento because he's a Sacramento raised guy, and his whole, I think I had a theme in the story early that his dream rise, he always wanted to be a star quarterback, and he was in Sacramento and led a 14-0 team at Cordova High School near Sacramento, and wanted to play in college, and was a four-year starter in the late 80s at Cal at quarterbacks with all kinds of records. Wanted to play in the NFL. We had a cup of coffee. Wanted to coach big-time high school football. He did. Wanted to coach in college. Wanted to get a big plum college job. And every job he took, he always bounced it off his wife, Tracy, wife of 28 years. And my point there is, she knows him better than anyone, said he's not a bully. And she's the one, we were on their back deck in their Bay Area home about a month ago, and she said, Troy, did you tell Joe what you wrote your thesis for your master's credential? And he leaned back and goes, yeah, on bullying. He goes, I hate a bully. So so there's the irony of the whole thing. It's got a little, like a good story. It's got some ups and downs and subplots, and it's going to be real curious to see. And, and I applaud ESPN for, their director of communications sent an email back. We have no comment.
Yeah, but see, we've all gone down that road. But Joe, this is part of it. You reached out to ESPN to get a comment. Did ESPN ever reach out to Troy Taylor and try to get his side of the story?
Apparently a voicemail was left, but it wasn't a lot of effort. It sounds like, according to the suit. And that's, I think if you really want to get a hold of somebody, and the story didn't have any balance, and I could see some of that argument. So, okay, we're going to take information, a leaked you know, we've all done that. Probably we have had something mailed to you anonymously or emailed, or and you look into it. But you know, I think ESPN's the suit against ESPN is, you know, where's the reporting? And you know, that's why I'm not comparing to ESPN, but that's why I think, you know, I'm going to try to get a hold of some Stanford female football staffers. And, you know, I didn't know if they're going to put a gag order on the whole football program. And I appreciate them talking. We didn't see any of that kind of balance in the investigation or in the stories.
Joe Davidson, Sacramento Bee, is with us. Troy Taylor's attorney is Paul Salvati. He is a heavy hitter. He is an attorney who doesn't take a defamation case unless he thinks he can win it. What do you know about his attorney?
Oh, he's really good. His, you know, I'm always curious about attorneys. My brother, Thad Davidson, is an attorney in Tyler, Texas, the home of the Earl Campbell. And he's and so I appreciate that. I have a friend in Sacramento who's a judge. And I'm fascinated by law. So Paul, I got a hold of Paul, or I caught wind that he was representing Troy. And, you know, you research him. You're not kidding, John. He has defended Hunter Biden. He has defended Fox News. And so nobody could say, well, this guy's only, you know, going to defend people on the right or the left. No, he's if there's a compelling case, and he's very intrigued by this one. And, you know, and he wrote a strong argument. You could just see the language in there. It's easy for people to find on SAGB.com. And we get that. He was good enough to give me the PDF file so we could have that to drop it into the story. And tried to get that in timely fashion. So that helped all of us. But, yeah, I mean, he just feels that Troy's trying to get his reputation back. He wants to get back into coaching. I'm convinced he'll get back into coaching. John, we've been around too long. We've seen too many coaches who've had domestic violence. They get back into coaching, substance abuse, DUIs, women falling off the back end of a motorcycle, those kind of things, neck braces, whatever. We've seen that before, and they return. This is none of that. And he's not exiting Stanford, you know, angry. He was thrilled at the opportunity and frustrated and pain because he's a rabid competitor, and it pains him. And you add just trying to become relevant. And Stanford was in decline before he got there. And I think the ACC is going to continue to be a big challenge. And you know, we'll see. We'll see. And just across the bay at Cal, I got the same kind of concerns. And, you know, how do we elevate this football program?
We're talking to Joe Davidson of the Sacramento Bee. He had the details on the Troy Taylor lawsuit with ESPN. Taylor got paid. His contract is paid out by Stanford. His damages, as I see it, because you have to have damages if you're going to sue here for defamation, his damages would be related to whether or not he is employable moving forward. Do you think he'll be able to prove that? I mean, or, you know, like you, I just sort of think if you're a good football coach, you know, gosh, Art Briles can find a job. Steve Sarkisian's
exactly
back
right
in the game. You know, it's Lane Kiffin. If you can coach, you know, these are not the kinds of things. I ultimately wonder, Joe, if this is just simply more about Troy Taylor getting his side of the story out there and getting ESPN to admit it didn't do a good job reporting.
I exactly right. And, you know, fighting for his name, fighting for his, you know, he told me, you know, I've been accused of things I just simply do not do. And, you know, and it's the timing of everything. If the first investigation, started before his first spring football practice as a Stanford staffer. It was like, okay, and he signed papers, okay, I'll improve my tone. And then the first season goes by, and then as we detailed with the Chip Kelly leaving UCLA, they could have let him go there. Go to UCLA. You know, they could have gone. But once it, yes, and the dominoes, when the story gets to ESPN or
how quickly
when,
did you get
Stanford felt they had to move.
Did you get a sense of how quickly Stanford did an about-face? Because until the ESPN story came out, I don't think they weren't going to fire him, right? It was just going to be you know, we're just going to have you, you know, go through some sensitivity training, and then all of a sudden, we have to move on.
That's exactly right, because it was the day, if I got my timeline right, The day that ESPN ran the story, general manager of Stanford football, John Lynch, was at the Stanford football field because it was NFL Pro Day. And somebody asked, and this is the story hadn't been posted yet. And somebody asked Andrew Luck, you know, how's it going with Troy Taylor? Not knowing what's going on. And he raved about Troy Taylor because spring ball was coming up. And so then the story runs, and the next day they decide they had to act. I saw it on social media. There are Stanford team pages and Facebook pages, and there were hundreds of people. I went to Stanford in the 50s or 60s. I played tennis. I had a daughter who was a swimmer. I'm not sticking around. I'm not watching anymore. And I think they felt like, okay, this is a perfect chance to just cut it loose. So that's the timing of it, too.
Do you get a sense of what...
Because of all those things.
Do you get a sense of what Troy Taylor thinks of Stanford leadership? Does he blame Stanford's leadership, or does he just blame ESPN?
I think in the football aspect, he was frustrated with the Stanford leadership. He wanted the assistant athletic director in charge of football to be his hire. And as we detailed in the story, the investigation said that it was not... he did not request a position change based on gender. I mean, if it's like having a woman basketball player from yesteryear suddenly, it would be like having a football player who's suddenly going to be the athletic director at Stanford in charge of women's basketball. It doesn't always jive. And so Troy had the backing of Bernard Muir, the athletic director, but he's since left. They've had a turnover and change. And, you know, I've heard football players down there, they wouldn't always go on the record, but they just felt like they were losing players. And, the NIL was a hard sell. And transfer portal, hard sell. And the thinking that you've got to do those things to be competitive in college football. And there were, we didn't have any of it in our story. It might be another story. But there was a tug of war, before Troy got there and during his time, with how many, scholarship allotments for all sports, different sports, and does football have too many? Well, now they're going to have about 100, and football, should get most of the revenue because that's how you're going to survive. And so he was frustrated with some of that, but his, when you get bought out, it honors the contract, so okay, and then he just didn't agree with the reporting.
Joe Davidson, Sacramento Bee. Hey, before I cut you loose, Sacramento State, I got to ask you, how is Sacramento State's effort right now to move up from the Big Sky and get into a bigger division in college football? How has that effort been greeted in Sacramento? Are people still on board with it, with what the president's doing there?
Yeah, good question, John. Yeah, Sacramento really started to come to games when Troy Taylor got there a few years ago. They're winning. Prolific, exciting, great conference. And Luke Wood is the president of the school. Great ambition, a lot of fun. He got an excellent coach in Brennan Marion, a hotshot who's gotten all these recruits coming in. And they tried to apply, they set a waiver to the NCAA to move up as an independent. It got denied. There has been some misleading reports that, Sacramento State's got $55 million in NIL. That's contingent, the asterisk there, that is contingent on getting the move to FBS. And then they'll get those kind of commitments. And, we'll see. I mean, they had 8,500 people at their spring game. And, John, I've been around since 1989 at the B, and I've been out to Sac State spring games when there were dozens of people. So there's excitement. They got 72 new players, so that's going to be, how fast can they put it all together? But right now, I believe Sac State might only have one game on its schedule next season. They're bowing out of the Big Sky, and the only game on their schedule that's fixed is a longtime rival, UC Davis. That rivalry's gone since 1954. So it's going to be really interesting to see what they do, and certainly winning a lot of games would pique interest, and you got to sell out the stadium to have a shot. Otherwise, they're going to have to wait until they get an invite to a conference, maybe to get up to the FBS.
Joe Davidson, Sacramento Bee. Appreciate you, man. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, John. Always good.
There he is. You heard the Troy Taylor story. You can tell Joe's known him for a long time. It'll be interesting to see if this is really about anything more than Troy Taylor clearing his name and pointing out that ESPN accused him of some things that, you know, make him, you know, a difficult hire in some places. He got his money. Stanford has paid him out. This really does, to me, feel like Troy Taylor wanting ESPN to acknowledge that, hey, it didn't do all of the reporting in this case, and it leaned heavily upon those investigations. I am, though, skeptical that his attorney will be able to prove that there was some malice by ESPN, that it acted with grave irresponsibility. It's a tricky, tricky thing to prove, but Troy Taylor certainly has the kind of attorney that that has that kind of power and that kind of clout. But Troy Taylor, would he be willing to take this to a trial? Because does a settlement with ESPN, unless ESPN just acknowledges publicly, hey, we screwed this up, Troy Taylor, you know, probably shouldn't have been fired. I don't know if ESPN's going to be willing to do that. Andrew Luck got in there, and Troy Taylor was pushed out. We'll see. We'll see what happens with this lawsuit moving forward. Leave it here. Our Big Splash is coming up.